one more segment here on Inside Black and Gold. And we're going to catch up. We're going to reset. Quarter of the way into the season, four games into a 17-game season. So you can use the percentage points, whichever direction you want. I'm going to call it quarter of the way into the season because that's where I feel like we are. I'm Jeff Nowak. He is Steve Geller. First things first, we've got a quarter of the way into the season. And if you needed any proof of exactly how dedicated Alvin Kamara is to your program, to your team, to your city, you've gotten it. What does the guy need to do to earn a extra year on his deal or to earn whatever? Go call his agent, figure something out. Because first of all, the guy has not lost a step. That was the question going into the season for me. Were the last 2 years a product of Alvin declining or a product of Pete Carmichael not knowing his ass from his elbow? And I think as we go forward, we're getting an answer on that. I think the Saints offense has looked pretty good, even in these games they've lost, considering where some of the challenges they've faced are. And the issue has not been Alvin Kamara in any way. The issue has been, I don't know who else is going to run the ball besides Alvin Kamara, particularly with Taysom Hill getting hurt. So to me, that's like, guys, we're going to go into next year. We're going to be feeling the same way. You might as well just have him on a more secure deal that isn't going to cost you $28 million to keep him around. So that's where I am in terms of Alvin Kamara. Pay the guy.
The concerning thing to me is, are they going to keep him around? Because I feel like you would have gotten something done already. Obviously, what he's going to do this season, I'm more worried about him being damaged goods now than anything. And I just don't know if the Saints are going to be willing to extend the 29-year-old running back, even though he means so much, obviously, to this offense. Like you mentioned, his dedication to the team, to the city. I don't know if they really care about that at this point, or else they feel like they would have gotten something done.
I'll lose a lot of respect for this team if they run Alvin into the ground just because they can. I will. I genuinely will. Because one of the things I think this team has done to a reasonable level is take care of their players, right? Especially the aging players. You're not just sending guys out to pasture. Like, obviously, a guy like Teron Armstead, it's like, you know, he was dealing with injuries. It didn't make sense, right? Mark Ingram was a weird scenario. I think that was more about mechanics than anything else. I don't know. I don't want to see Alvin play somewhere else. And I don't think you have to see Alvin play somewhere else. Either way, this is what Alvin said after the game in terms of how he feels about it. We'll also hear from Derek Carr on Alvin.
I've been in this league, and we got a couple people in this locker room that's played a lot of football in this league. And when you play a lot of football in this league, you realize that blowing people out and doing all that, it don't matter. Like, that's fanfare. You know what I'm saying? That's cool. You don't get no points for that. These are the type of games that matter. The ones that you close out when it's nail biting, one score. Like, these are the type of games that matter, because these are the games that the winning teams win. And when you look further down the line, when you get to December and January, when you look at those teams that's playing, you look back on their season, they're able to close these games out. So I don't care about beating whatever team 50-0. I don't care if we beat a team 80-0. That shit don't matter. And I think I kind of had that tone when after the games and y'all interviewed me. It's like, man, we got way more football to play against better teams, and we got to play better ball. So we did a lot of things today to shoot ourselves in the foot and keep ourselves from being able to close out one of these games. So we just got to be better all around. Like, it don't even – I'm not even looking at anything good we did in this game, because we have to close it. We got to get a W. We got to be in the W column, not the L.
So let me ask you this. You look around this team, how many players on this offense could even make a comment like that and actually mean something?
Maybe the quarterback?
No. When is his history of being on one of those teams where it's like you look back and like, oh, we win all the close games, we are that team, you know? Like, no, he's never been on, like, he's been on a couple good teams, but and it's tough because you look at it and you say, okay, well, your defense is part of that. It's not just on the offense, but Derek's never won a playoff game. Derek doesn't know what it's, you know, there's no one on this offense other than maybe Eric McCoy would be the answer. Caesar to some extent, Taysom to some extent. that you can look at and say, yeah, okay, these guys understand what it takes to go win in the playoffs, to go win in the postseason, to be playing deep into January. And here's the thing. Alvin's a superstar NFL player. How many players of Alvin's caliber will be dealing with broken ribs and go out there in a year where they didn't pay him on the contract that he wanted and still show up for every day of practice, show up for, you know, obviously missed a couple days in camp, but nothing significant, and put his body on the line for a team that hasn't paid him? Tell me. How many, look at all these players holding out, doing all that. They're going to run the guy into the ground and not give him any security beyond this year. Again, the Saints can do whatever they want. They can make whatever decision they feel like is financially prudent. I think I will lose a lot of respect for the decision makers in that front office if that's how they handle this season, is they run the guy who has meant everything to this offense since 2017 into the ground and say, good luck, see you later. Like, that to me will be a terrible, terrible way to handle this situation.
No, I would hate to see Alvin go too, but like I said, it's just a feeling. I don't know anything, obviously, but it just feels like the Saints would have made their move already to re-sign him already if that was the plan, instead of just letting him go ahead, see what you can get on the open market. Maybe we'll come around and offer you something there, but I don't think they're ready to make that any kind of long-term commitment to him.
I mean, yeah, sure, fine. I mean, we've talked about this in the past, and we've kind of gone over this. I'm just putting that on record, so we can go from there. I just think it's like the question to me was whether he had the juice to continue to get it done, and I was questioning whether it made sense, not knowing that, to commit to that without seeing it. You've seen it, and you've seen a guy who got 26 touches each of the past 2 weeks because you needed him to get 26 touches in games where one of those games, that workload got him a broken rib, and the next game he did that workload with a broken rib. So either way, that's where I'm in. That's where I'm at on that. And we can move on. How you feeling?
Oh, man.
How you feeling? You feeling good? Feeling good?
No, it's a shitty Monday. I mean, Saints lost. My fantasy team sucks. And I don't know. You're going into a week against Kansas City. And so a 3-game losing streak is definitely not just possible, probable.
My fantasy team is doing surprisingly good, although I have to try to survive. I need Jahmyr Gibbs to get me like 12 points to survive that. I had a 98% chance to win before the Sunday night game. And then that Derrick Henry 30 burger. I don't even have to watch, because I had Lamar Jackson, Zay Flowers, and Jahmyr Gibbs with like a 30-point lead, and he ended up with two guys who got him like 60. So anyway, but I'm 3-0 in that league, so I can't complain too much. Either way, so let's kind of reset. Let's reset where the Saints are and where the NFL standings are at large, right? So, you know, there's the Lions still haven't played yet. They're 2-1, so we'll kind of have to wait and see on that in the NFC. But generally speaking, 2-2 is a very popular record. So the teams in the NFC that are 2-2, Cowboys, Eagles, 49ers, Bears, Packers, which is a really funny 2-2 because it's Malik Willis is 2-0 and Jordan Love is 0-2. And then Falcons, Saints. So that is 9 teams in the NFC that are 2-2. Now there's a handful of teams that have a better record, and these are, if you tell me these are the teams you expected to have a better record than 2-2 at this point in the season, you are a liar. Because one of those is the Commanders, who lost their first game, then have won the next 3. The other one is the Seahawks, who still have yet to play, but they are 3-0. The Vikings, who are 4-0, and the Buccaneers, who are 3-1. And
Sam Darnold led Vikings.
The Sam Darnold Vikings, man. 4-0. There's only, what, 2 teams in the NFL that are 4-0? The one the Saints play next week, which is the Chiefs, and the Vikings. Now, let's loop around to the other conference. And yeah, there's only one 4-0 team. There's a few 3-1 teams. The Texans, Steelers, another team like these quarterbacks, man, Justin Fields. They did lose, but they're 3-1. And the Bills are 3-1. They got their ass kicked by the Ravens last night. And the Ravens are 2-2, but they're still my Super Bowl team. Either way, you go back, and I've watched a a few of these Chiefs games. Obviously, I watched the one against the Falcons. I caught up on the Chiefs game from yesterday. They really should have lost. The Chargers were up 10-0 and then did not score for the remainder of that game. Missed a field goal. You know, like they should have won that game and they did not. The Chiefs are limp into these wins. Like that is one of the ugliest 4-0s you'll see in these games. And
but like Kamara says, in the end though, they somehow they find a way to do it.
No, I agree. And like winning is winning. But like the Isaiah Likely, if Isaiah Likely had like a size 12 instead of a size 14, right, that's a loss. Yesterday, they should have lost that game. They're now without Rashee Rice. That because Rashee Rice, Pat Mahomes threw an interception, then went to go make a tackle, wiped out Rashee Rice's knee, and he's done. You could see his knee in that clip go the wrong way. Like, right, he's done for the year. He had to get carted off the field. So that's a weapon for them. Xavier Worthy is now going to just run real fast as often as possible. And, you know, he's probably, you know, you look at Rashid Shaheed, what does he do well? Like, that's what they're going to try to do with Rashee Rice. Just run straight, catch it. No, I mean, that's a struggling Chiefs team. Pat Mahomes and Travis Kelce kind of got their connection going a little bit, but yeah. Kelce has been disappointing to this point in the season. That said, the Saints have been the greatest victory for tight ends. I don't even know. I don't even have a funny thing to say.
Sure, all right. About
it. But like the Saints have a way of making tight ends look like superstars. Now, not the Kyle Pitts type tight end, not the unicorn tight ends, the traditional Travis Kelce tight end, like the big kind of guy who's going to run in the middle of the field and out physical you. Like that's always been my thing with Kyle Pitts is he plays like a wide receiver. He gets bullied. Guys like Travis Kelce, you know, even like a David Njoku, right? Like the big bodied dudes who are going to bully you out of the way. They just have a hard time with that.
Oh, what's his name from Detroit? Hawkinson. Oh my Lord.
He's with the Vikings right
now. Right.
LaPorta.
Yeah.
Now he used to be with Detroit. Hawkinson used to be with Detroit. They traded him to the Vikings and they drafted LaPorta. LaPorta beat him to, tore him to shreds last year. Hawkinson tore him to shreds last year. Goddard tore him to shreds in week 3. Now, the Cowboys didn't really have a tight end. The Panthers didn't really have a tight end. Right. So, you know, like that's clearly a matchup. And that's the thing. Like, I can't look at, the Saints handled Kyle Pitts. Suddenly, I feel like they handled tight ends. Because like I said, Kyle Pitts doesn't play like a tight end. Kyle Pitts plays like a big wide receiver that is not particularly physical. And you can just lock a cornerback on him and say good luck. So I don't know. I that's going to be my question. But either way, Saints Chiefs next week. I don't think a lot of people are going to give the Saints a lot of hope to win that game. No. And the national TV element of it, the Monday Night Football element of it, does give me some pause. But I've watched the Chiefs play. I've watched the Saints play. I don't see the Chiefs as being markedly better than the Saints. Now, obviously, they have Pat Mahomes, and Pat Mahomes is Pat Mahomes. And at the end of the day, if the Saints defense gets on the field and needs to get a stop against Pat Mahomes in the final moments of that game, I don't like their chances. But I have watched Derek Carr in several games against the Chiefs, and he steps up in those matchups. Can you block Chris Jones? I don't know. But I think you're going to go into that game and you're going to feel really negative about this team. I think they can walk in there and win that game.
Andy Reid's a problem too. Obviously a great head coach you're going against.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's an offensive wizard. He's going to find ways, but you have an extra day to prepare for him. You know what they want to do. They don't have a running back right now. I mean, obviously Kareem Hunt, maybe he gets a bigger role. Carson Steele is a rookie that I'm not particularly concerned about.
Carson Steele.
He does. It's a pretty good name. It sounds like a Marvel character.
Or like American Gladiators. I was thinking, I don't know. Do you know American Gladiators or no?
Oh yeah. Okay. How young do you think I am?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of what time I came out even.
The Q-tip things. They knock people off the things with.
That was awesome.
Come on. I grew up on Nickelodeon SNICK. I was around.
See, I don't know what that is.
Really? Yeah, you don't remember all the games like the Legends of the Hidden Temple and stuff like that?
No.
What? No. Double Dare? You don't remember this? They had
I know. Yeah.
Stuff out of nose and it was all the goop and... You don't know Legends of the Hidden Temple, like Blue Barracudas and Silver Snakes? And
yeah, I don't remember all that.
What the hell? Who are you? All I know is if one of those like temple guards came out and tried to grab me, like I would 1000% just punch him in the face. And it always amazed me that these kids were just like, oh, no. Oh. like Ron Swanson. I completely lost track of what I was going to say. Oh, but American Gladiator. Where were we?
Talking about the. Yeah, I don't know what the
hell. Oh, Carson Steele. Yeah, he sounds Carson like
a
secret identity for a Marvel superhero. Like, no, that's just Carson Steele. He's just a regular guy. And oh my God, he put a mask on. That's the guy. No, but he had a pretty bad fumble in that game. I expect Kareem Hunt over time will start to take those carries away. And I don't know exactly how long Isaiah Pacheco is going to be out. I haven't really kept track of that injury, but
I don't think he's coming back this week though.
No, I don't think so either. So, you know, I feel good about that. Like, that's a banged up team. Their defense is good. Their defense is talented, and we'll see how that goes. But I just think everyone's going to be like, hey, the Saints are on a 3-game losing streak before we even get to that game. And I have a feeling it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be a close game. Either way, you look at the Saints' next three opponents. So you have the Chiefs on Monday night. You get an extra day to go into that matchup. Then you have the Bucs in the Superdome week 6. That's a team that's playing very well, although they just got rocked by the Broncos. So, you know, it's easy to overreact and say, wow, they just blew out the Eagles. I think a lot of times you'll see a team play a tough game, bounce back, and then kind of level out. So we'll see how the Bucs look this week and go from there. I think that Broncos defense is just really good. So we'll see how that shows up on Thursday night when the Broncos show up in the town the week after that. It's going to be the second consecutive short week for the Saints, a team that's already dealing with injuries. Suddenly, I'm starting to feel like, man, I'm not feeling great about that matchup, although Bo Nix has done nothing to make me feel like I should be worried about him. And we'll go from there. But Bucks are 3-1. You go into that matchup feeling like, hey, if the Saints can win in week 6, which they did well against Baker Mayfield in the week 18 or week 17 matchup last year. So maybe they have a book on them a little bit. They obviously, it's a different coordinator with Liam Cohen, but I do feel like you should be able to look at that game with confidence, knowing what you did to them in a game that they had to win in week 17 to clinch the NFC South.
It's a pretty wild schedule because now this week the Bucs are playing the Falcons.
Yeah. Well, we'll see, but yeah. So here's the thing. So the teams you're going up against now, the Panthers fell back to earth against the Bengals. So they're both those teams are 1-3. But so you're
Andy
looking
Dalton
at
it, say, pretty good though.
Huh?
Andy Dalton did decent.
Yeah. He's going to continue to do just well enough to,
right,
you know, win you a couple games and not give Bryce Young his job back. That's the book on Andy Dalton. He will make your quarterback miserable, make him look bad, and then kind of be Andy Dalton. And then you're going to go into next season being like, well, it wasn't terrible, but we're definitely not going to go with Andy Dalton again. Now, the guy, the most bizarre story of the past several years is Joe Flacco, who apparently just shows up and wins games anywhere. He showed up in Indy and won that game for the Colts yesterday after Anthony Richardson got hurt, which, again, it's like, that's my thing with Anthony Richardson. We can be excited about him. He's going to keep getting hurt the way he plays, but all right, so you're going up against Chiefs, they're 4-0. Week after that, Bucks 3-1. Week after that, Broncos, they're currently 2-2. Week after that, Chargers in LA, they are 2-2. Week after that, Panthers, they're currently 1-3. Week after that, you are hosting the Falcons. They are 2-2. Week after that, you are hosting the Browns, who are currently 1-3. And look very, very bad. Then you have the Rams in New Orleans. Now, that's going to be a question of who exactly the Rams have for that matchup.
Right.
You're at a point that they might start to get some of these players back, but they are currently 1-3. That does not look like a particularly difficult matchup right now. Now, that's on paper. Then you are hosting the Giants, a team with a good defense, but you're traveling to meet the Giants, a team with a good defense, but I will always take my chances against Daniel Jones. He's freaking terrible. He cannot throw the ball deep to save his life. Malik Nabers is that good, but not good enough to rescue my opinion of Daniel Jones.
Who's the Giants lead back?
Devin Singletary.
Devin Singletary, right.
Yeah. Not exactly striking fear into the hearts of Saints fans. Then host the Commanders, visit the Packers. Now, that Giants game will be cold weather, so that's going to be a factor. You go to Green Bay on December 23rd. That's going to be one of the coldest games I will ever experience in my life. Then you host the Raiders, then you host the Bucks. So I see a lot of wins on the backside of that schedule. You need to find a way to go 2-1. I take that back. You really want to find a way to go 2-1 over the next three games. and you can go into your second half of your schedule effectively at even, because I feel like there's more wins than losses on the backside of that schedule. I will accept 1-2 if it's a loss to the Chiefs, a loss to the Broncos, and a win over the Bucks. But I think if you can find a way to beat the Bucks at home and then find a way to beat the Broncos, which take advantage of Bo Nix, find a way, that's acceptable too. This next three games is going to be pivotal. Like, you can't go 0-3. That's the only thing you cannot do, is go 0-3. Like, 3-4, you can work your way back from that. There's a lot of wins, again, on the back end of that schedule. 2-5?
No, it obviously sucks what happened. Philadelphia in the Falcons game, both wins that seemed that were given away. And I think we saw a little bit too much of that, obviously, last season with this team, that there were winnable games. They weren't able to pull them out. And obviously, that's a disturbing trend that's continued now early on after that gangbuster start where, you know, everybody was seeing rainbows and puppy dogs.
Yeah, it's disturbing, but at the same time, close. So many games in the NFL are close. Now, you know,
I guess to go along with it is the trend of what's happened, and then with the injuries.
You know, it's an issue, but like you're being competitive in these games, and you know, it's not the, you know, it's one thing that I'll say for the Dennis Allen era is there are very few games that get away from them. A lot of them seem to come down to the wire. A lot of them are close. You just haven't won enough close games. But like, you look at like the Bucks, like they're 3-0, and their loss was getting blown out by the Broncos, right? Like, that's why I look at the Chiefs and I see a team that's won a lot of tight games and is kind of like on the cusp of that kind of blowout loss. You know, I could see it happening, because that's what it always seems like. After a while, you win a bunch of close games, and then it's like you kind of lose your edge slightly, and you have some key players out. And
well, Dennis is going to have to be in his bag against Mahomes, as they say.
Yeah, and again, and it's easy to lose perspective after a 2-2 start, and so like it's all been terrible. It's like you won two games big, you had really strong offensive performances, and you beat up on a Panthers team that's bad. Let's be real, they're really bad. But then you beat up on a Cowboys team that's decent. They're 2-2, right? Then you lost a close game to the Eagles, a team that's decent to good. It's 2-2. Then you lost a close game to the Falcons, a team that's decent to good. They're 2-2. So, you know, that's kind of where you are. Like, this is how the NFL wants it. They want parity. They want all these games to come down to one score. Sometimes they come out in your end, sometimes they don't. You need to start winning some of these one score games, and hopefully you've gotten the bad luck out. And you know, that's the best way I can put it, is hopefully the luck starts to swing in your favor.
Well, they better get some kind of shaman or witch doctor, whatever, to unleash whatever nastiness has been put upon them. Because I don't know. Obviously when you hear sometimes it's better to get blown out. Like, at least you're like, all right, the game plan didn't work, you didn't execute. But when it comes down to these really close matchups and back-to-back weeks, it's an extra kick to the gut and to the nuts.
Yeah, I think that is what it is. Like, it's like you can say like, hey, we're competitive in all these games, that's a good thing, but at the same time, somehow getting blown out feels better, because then you're at least you're not so emotionally invested in it, and you can at least use that as like a wake-up call. Like, I wouldn't be surprised. Like I was saying, like the Bucks, it's like, hey, you had one of your worst games of the season against the Broncos, and you had one of your best games of the season against the Eagles the next week. Sometimes that's kind of, and then you could say the same thing about the Saints last year. They had one of their worst games of the season in week 16 against the Rams. And then the next week they had probably their best game of the season they had their best two games of the season against the Falcons and Bucks. So I don't know, maybe they do need a blowout loss. Maybe they should have just gone into Atlanta and got boat raced. Then we'd be like, oh, they're totally going to beat the Chiefs.
You worried that obviously early on with the freakish touchdowns that the Falcons got, and you're like, oh crap, what are we headed in for today? But damn, that defense did its job until they didn't.
It sure did.
Man.
All right. We will be coming back later in the week with an injury update. Now, this is obviously going to be a weird one.
That should be thrilling.
Well, the first injury report of the week won't come out until Thursday. So I'll probably try to do something on Wednesday, but it's just these mesh. Like, we won't be able to have our typical Wednesday episode breaking down the initial injury report, because we won't get one until Thursday. So we'll have to figure something out. Either way, it's going to mess up the schedule this week. I really don't want to record a podcast to post on Sunday or Saturday. So we'll figure it out. I'll let y'all know. But either way,
thanks. Envious this week. You get a trip to Arrowhead, a stadium I have not been to.
Yeah, and it's not that cold yet. So that's right. Going to be nice. In a couple months, that trip to Arrowhead would be abject misery. This time of year, it's like, oh, it's going to be kind of nice to get. I'll have to wear a jacket. But
Jeff will be hanging with Tay-Tay.
God, I hope she's there. Yeah, I can finally, you know, unleash. You know, I'll wear like a Taylor Swift shirt under my
breakaway.
So when I end up in a photographer's lens. All right, who dat? Go Saints. Thanks for everyone who commiserated. And we'll be back at you later in the week with a live stream and probably a mailbag of some sort, so we can hear all your grievances, and you know, I'll eat them, digest them, and see what comes out the other end.
Sadly, it's bourbon o'clock there, Who Dat Nation. It is bourbon o'clock.
Day drinking. What better than that? What better than this? Guys being dudes. All right, y'all. Who dat? Easy.
Later, folks.